Today on Real Radio.
A lot of Christians pull into position, they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and man, they head down the aisle. Oh Lord, I give you my life! And we all did that. But you know what? After a while, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, something happens, and we've been going great. But you know what? In the mature department, we didn't get off the ground.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Now, in this collection of lessons, we're learning how Scripture answers questions like, why should I worship? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? And so on. Today, we continue with the opening lesson, the title of which, you gotta admit, is essential to our spiritual growth. It's called, Why Should I Go to Church? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Because it's God's desire for you to come back. That's the bottom number one reason, because God says so. You see, Pastor, I don't like the church. Find a church you like. Oh, I haven't been able to find a church I like. Oh. Maybe you're expecting more out of the church than what God expects out of the church then. No, put your eyes on Jesus, Christian, and go back to the church or find a church that can minister to you again. Why? Because number one reason, God wants you in the church. He wants you there in many, many ways to do many, many things, as we shall see. But the number one point to our study this morning is it's God's desire that you go back to church. And how so is that true? Well, first of all, jot it down. He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for us. Now, this takes a huge step of faith. Right now, right here, right now. We've got to believe in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that God wants for us the very best. And with that, we have to receive by faith, because we'll argue with that. Like this, I'm hurt. I'm not going to a church. And I'm justified in my pain. I was wronged. But Jack, if you're asking me to believe that God wants his best for me, then why don't I have the best? And immediately, you and I are placed, and we place ourselves in that spot of being the evaluator, or somehow the inspector, or the determinant about what is good for me, what's best for me. You hear what I'm saying? God says, attend the church. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling together with the church, as some have done. But he says, get together even more often as you see the end approaching. And according to the Bible, the end is approaching. So what should we do? Give up? No. Fellowship more. If you do not do that, if I do not do that, I'm offending the heart of God. But see, we get so caught up into what we think. See, God says, I know what I want for you, and I want the very best for you. And here's what I do. For example, true story. Last week, we ordained our pastor down in Mexico, in San Jose del Cabo, Baja. And so we were down there on Monday night installing our pastor there, and I have not had a banana split in over 10 years. I didn't realize that, and I never even think about banana splits. Well, after that, I went, and there's a Baskin-Robbins in that little town. And I mean little town. A Baskin-Robbins. So we walk in there, and I'll take a banana split. You know what? As soon as I got home, I said, Lisa, get in the car. We're going to Baskin-Robbins. We're getting banana splits. It was fantastic. I had no idea. I completely forgot. Banana split, all the stuff on there. Oh, my goodness. It was fantastic. And so I'm eating that thing, and now I want to eat one every day. I want to eat a banana split every day. Listen, it's what I want. Now, I'm sure God is saying, Jack, don't eat one every day. But I haven't heard from him yet about that. So my desire is, I want a banana split. The truth is, if I eat a banana split every day, I will not be healthy. I will get fat, sick. Tastes great. It's what I want. But I can want something so much to my liking that I hurt myself. Those of us who have been together on mission outreaches, especially to Western Europe, will get on the Autobahn. We've done it together, remember? 165 miles an hour, 200, and I think it's 80 kilometers an hour, flying down the Autobahn. I think it's why man was born. It's awesome. And you want to drive like that all the time. I can't drive like that all the time. You get hurt doing that. It's got to be at the right time, the right place, and all that. It's got to be legal. You see, I can do what I want against what God wants, and I can eat banana splits until I can't get in that car. Or I eat a banana split, get in the car, go so fast and out of control that when there's an accident, all that's left is banana splits all over. Why? Because I'm doing it my way. And so we might say this morning, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, I was doing fine one time in a church, but this is what happened and I'm not going anymore. Why are you doing that? Who do you think you're harming? It's you. You don't want to do that anymore. I believe if we held a crusade at Edison Field and we invited just people who were Christians but not attending any church, do you realize we could not contain the people? There are more people out there that love Jesus, but yet they've strayed away and they've got justifiable hurts and they're not fellowshipping with God. And God says, come back and fellowship with my church that I paid with my own blood. He wants what's best for us. Didn't God say in his creation in Genesis, after each day of creation, God looked at it and said what? It is good. And then he creates Adam and Eve, and on the final day, he said it is very good. And Adam and Eve were in the garden and all was well. Then you keep reading, it doesn't take long. In fact, I did this a couple weeks ago. I'll do it again. Those of you who saw this, bear with me again. But look at this. This is all of creation, right there. The universe, Adam and Eve, animals, everything, the universes, the clusters of universes that are out there. Everything God created, he did it all right there, all right there. Then Adam and Eve, they blow it right about here in the garden. And the rest of the book is, please come back home, I love you, come back. The Bible says Adam and Eve blew it, they're hiding in the garden. And the Bible says that God came walking in the cool of the evening, in the cool of the day. And he says, Adam, you bum! He didn't do that. He didn't say, Adam, you blew it. He said, Adam, what did he say? Where are you? Now, God knew where he was. I believe that God was trying to evoke from Adam confession. I believe if he would have confessed, God would have covered the sin, and we would have been living in a garden right now. Adam, where are you? Come back in fellowship. Maybe God is saying, Bob, where have you been? Susie, where are you? He's been calling out, and you know how hard it is to live like that, don't you? You're a Christian, but God wants more out of your life. And he wants you to fellowship. He wants you to be in his army to assist in the spiritual development of other people. It's called the church. Yeah, boy, you don't, the church that I went to, I didn't like it. Well, listen, as long as you departed from that church for biblical reasons, that is, the church was not biblically sound, or there were wrong things or immoral things, then leave. By all means, get out of there. Knock the dust off your feet. But maybe you left the church that you were attending because it didn't go the way that you wanted, and God was actually desiring to use you to help better that church through a trying and difficult situation. It's possible, you know. It's possible. Why am I even bringing this up, and why am I including this in our series of Why Should I? Because there's so many wounded people, and it's God's will that you be wounded no more. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so that's a very, very important thing. God knows what's best, and he wants what's best. Listen, he not only wants what's best for us, but God knows what's best. Jot that down. That's our second consideration under this point. Our first point is, it's God's desire that you come back. Number one thing regarding that is God wants what's best for us. Number two, he knows what's best for us. I love this. You pick up the Bible. Listen, you can't pick up the Quran and get what I'm about to say. You can't pick up the Tibetan Book of the Dead and get what I'm about to say. You can't get it from Buddha or from Confucius or anyone else. The Bible from cover to cover says, God says, you're my children, call me Father. I love the Hebrews. They say, Abba, their Father in heaven, who knows what's best for us. He loves us so much, he knows what's best. And people run. When it says here in the book of Acts that they continued, Well, the word continued in Acts 2:42. If you look it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster says it means this. And by the way, it's the same in the Greek. The word continue, as they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Listen to this. To continue. The word means to determine to press forward. It's a decision you make. To stay at or to persevere upon a course or a task until success is had or enjoyed. To keep on going, usually in the face of opposition or difficulty. Wow. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says that they continued with one accord in prayer. They continued on. You know, to keep moving, to go forward. Someone has said to continue is to put the throttle down. And that made me think of a thought. If you're an engineer in here, or maybe you're a pilot. I'm a pilot, light aircraft pilot. Maybe you know something about that stuff. There's a thing called V1, V2. And by the way, you may not know about it, but you experience it every time you get on an airplane. You can get on a United Airlines flight, you sit down, and everything just seems so normal. And that pilot's sitting there, you know, he starts to taxi out, and he gets that plane into position to take off. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about V1, V2. Well, what's V1, V2? V1 is the speed that a plane reaches, that the nose begins to come off the ground, okay? It's going too fast to stop, but it's going too slow to fly. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out it ain't a good place. I'm V1. I'm going so fast I can't stop, but I'm not going fast enough to take off. And the end of the runway is coming. Do you know what that pilot does? I don't care if he's an atheist. Do you know what he's doing? He's praying. You mean they do that on the big 747s I'm flying on? Oh, yeah. He puts that throttle down, and that plane is going out, and it's moving. And you're sitting back there, and you're looking at the magazine. You're looking at the window. You have no idea there's beads of sweat coming down that guy's face. You say, Pastor, don't tell me that. I'll never get on the plane again. That plane is moving, and that co-pilot or that engineer on that flight is calling out air speeds, and then he says V1, and right then it's why? Because you gotta get the V2. If you don't get the V2, you're not gonna make it. And so when V2 happens, I'm sitting back there on my little seat. I'm going, yes, God, thank you. Why? Because now you're going fast enough to fly. A lot of Christians pull into position, they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and man, they head down the aisle. Oh, Lord, I give you my life. And we all did that. But you know what? After a while, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, something happens, and we've been going great. But you know what? In the mature department, we didn't get off the ground. Maybe we filled our head with a bunch of knowledge, and yeah, we're going to heaven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and our soul is saved. But you know what? There comes, as Jesus promised, a difficulty in life. Difficulties have to come to the believer's life. You see, the stuff that you ran away from was engineered by God to help you to get through something, to show you His faithfulness, but you ran. You never got out of V1. You were going so fast, but you couldn't take off. Maturity gets you off the ground. And when you get off the ground, you know, yeah, there's bombs. Yeah, there's things to watch out for. But it's the only way that you can fly in your spirituality. It's the only way that it works. God knows what's best for us. My friend, the day that you signed up for this, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, He was not joking around. You may not have taken Him seriously, but He took you seriously. And you're His child. And He brought you near to His side, and He put His Holy Spirit in your life. That's why when you get up every morning and God says, are we going to read the Bible today? You know how He's been saying that to you for years? Are we going to read the Bible today? What do? You turn on the radio as loud as you can. You get busy. You turn on your cell phone. Or whatever it might be. You're V1. You're going fast enough, but not fast enough to fly. And God says, come on, let's fly. Today, can we fly? Isn't it an amazing thing that Jesus comes to you and I every morning? If you're walking with God, or if you're a Christian and you're not walking with God, Jesus says, what are we going to do today, you and I? What are we going to do today? So what do you mean, what are we going to do today? You're God. You're going to do what you want to do today. That's not what He's all about. God says to us, what are we going to do today? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, he's going to ask you, listen, and I'm praying, I've been praying he'll ask you this. What are we going to do today? Because wherever you go, Jack, that's where I'm going to go. What are we going to say today, Jack? Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to be saying. I'm not going to separate myself from you. I'll never leave you or forsake you, Jack. So what are we going to do today? It's best that I get up in the morning, that you get up with me in the morning, and we say, Lord, what are we going to do today? Now, that's how you fly. And that's how we get above all the stuff that pulls us down, those sins that so easily ensnare us. You might say, well, Pastor, you're not touching on the reason why I walked away. Well, hopefully I'll get to that. But you know what? He not only wants the best, he knows the best, he gives the best. We only need to spend a moment on this one. He gives the best. What does that mean? Well, first of all, he gave us his son on the cross. Was that not good enough for us? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he gave us his son on the cross. God died on the cross in the person of Jesus, shed his blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins. He gave his best. He gave exactly what we needed. Not only that, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. And of course, the Father tells us how much he loves us all the time. Those of you who have wandered away, one of the things that the enemy, Satan, whispers in your ear, and he sounds just like your voice. You know how that is? Satan doesn't go, yeah, you are so bad. God won't love you anymore. No, it sounds like you. It sounds like me in my head. I can't come back. God can't love me anymore. He shoots those fiery darts of thoughts in your mind. Guess what? You get to come back. You get to come back, and you know what? Just like in the book of Luke where the son says, you know what, Father, give me my inheritance, the prodigal son, I'm out of here, and he leaves. His one son stays in fellowship, his other son grabs the loot, and off he goes, and he lives in opulence and in glory until his money runs out. He made his own decisions, called his own shots. Everything went belly up, lost his job, lost his status in life, completely bankrupt because he followed his own course of action. Have we ever been there? You know what that's like? You follow your own course of action? Oh, man, that hurts. And he wakes up to the reality, you know what? This is the pits. He's sleeping with pigs and he's eating out of their trough. And he says, that's it. I'm going back to my dad's house, and I'll be happy just to be one of his servants. They eat better than I do. And the son goes back home, and what does the father do? He looks out the window, and he calls a party. My son! He runs out there. He greets his son. He doesn't say, where have you been? He says, come here, son. He loves him. What's that story that Jesus told? What was it all about? It's about the heart of the father receiving those who have gone wayward back in. In the book of Joel, read it, chapter 2, God says, I know that the locust has consumed your life. I know that the flying locust has eaten all of your fields, that you have nothing left. God says, you come back to me and I will restore all that those things have eaten, and I will cause you to dwell with me, and you shall eat of the plenty of the land. Man, it's tough in this world not walking with God. Have you noticed yet? If you haven't noticed, oh, may God bless you today with that revelation. It's too hard to live without him. Christian, come back. Well, Pastor, you know what? I murdered somebody, or I committed adultery, or I'm a fornicator. I got hooked on drugs. Come back. And if you can't go to a church that can accept you that way, then come here. And if somebody here can't accept you that way, tell me their name. Come back. Come back to his arms. I'm not saying come back to this church. You can come back here if you want, or you can go here or come here if you want. That doesn't matter at all. You got to go back to him, the Lord Jesus. Go to him. He loves you. He's waiting for you. Well, second point this morning, why should I go back to church? Number two, it's for this reason, because it's God's business that we're to belong to. It's God's business that we're to be doing. God's business. God's business. You know, God has a plan for your life. He really does. I know some people make light of that. What's God's business for me? He has a specific plan for your life. Listen, whoever you are, your name, who you are, God knew the day that you were going to be born, the very moment, your hair color, your eyes, your size, where you would live in the world, God knew. He didn't make a mistake. He knew. And every situation that has happened in your life, he's known. And for some, you might say, then why didn't he intervene? Why didn't he help me when I was calling out to him? Listen, I don't understand the mind of God. No man can. But I know this, that whatever has happened to you and I in our life, God will take what Satan has meant for evil and turn it around for good. That's why his title is the Redeemer. And I know that you've gone through pain and suffering. But let me suggest to you that the very pain and suffering you've gone through, God, if you will let him have the controls of your life, will take those justifiable hurts and make them glories that only you can know. Glories that only you can be thankful for. Only God can do that. I talked to somebody recently who had been molested all their life. Molested by a stepfather, then molested by brothers, then molested by uncles. What can God have for me, was her cry. What can God have for me? So she decides to follow Jesus because he's the only man in her life. And you watch and see as she follows Christ, how she will be used, because I can't do it, you can't do it, she will be used by God to reach other girls who are in the same case or experience the same thing. Nobody can minister to such situations but Jesus and a woman like that to hurting people. And only, please hear me, only God can take a horrible, wicked situation, and through him, the very one who was sinned against and offended can say, I now, knowing what I know now, and having God like I have him now, would not change a thing. I can tell you that is the life I live now. I rejoice that I can say, I thank God for the stuff I went through in my life, because you know what? Now, knowing him like I know him now, I wouldn't change a thing. He wants to bring you back. God's business. He's got a purpose for your life. But write down this argument. I'm going to give you several arguments. Number one, why God's purpose can't be done in my life. Why I can't be about God's business. Number one, we say, I was hurt by another Christian. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but every one of us have been hurt by another Christian. Now, first of all, keep this in mind. Satan's not stupid. If you're a Christian, what's the best way to get at another Christian? Use a Christian. If the world out there says, I hate you, you silly Christians, you know, I'm going to smack you around. Well, we expect that from the world. But if a Christian tells a lie about us, that hurts. Why? Because we're in the family. Somehow we're offended, defrauded, ripped off.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Go to Church? It's a part of Pastor Jack's series simply called Why Should I?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we brought you another one of Pastor Jack's topical series called The Problem with Jesus. And this four-part series called The Problem with Jesus has been talked about as quite a useful tool and study series for effective evangelism. Well, Real Radio listeners are still getting in touch and requesting The Problem with Jesus. So we're extending our offer. We'll send you the four DVD set for your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention that DVD series by name. It's called The Problem with Jesus. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll know right where to point and click. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. We'll This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.